So if you're gonna do a completely chemical-free burial,
yes.
How much time do you have before you need to be programmed?
As much time as you want, and I'll give you a perfect example here. My beloved, wonderful father passed away 6 months ago, and he wanted to be buried next to my mother and his parents in this little Catholic cemetery. He wanted to go downtown Portland to the cathedral and have the Monsignor do the blessings, and he wanted a casket that looked just like my mom's. So I thought, all right, well, my brother actually lives here in Bend, and so I said, so we talked about it, and I said, what do you want to do? And he looks at me and says, yeah, this is all you. You do what you want. And I said, fantastic. That's what I wanted to hear. So what we did was we gave him a green burial, even though he wanted all these traditional aspects. And what we did was we were able to get him a casket that looked just like mom's, but it was a natural casket. There was no toxic glue. There was no metal. There was dowels inside, so it looks and worked just like a stand. Anybody in church wouldn't say, what is that weird pine contraption? It looks just like just a standard casket. And then we were able to, he was brought there. Now, he was brought there in a hearse, so that wasn't, you know, that still, there's gas that goes into it, and I guess I could have brought my van, but, you know, it was just, he deserved and needed the fancy car, and it's what he wanted, so we got him to the church. We got him inside. Again, he was in a official church, and still green burial, no chemicals, nothing. And he probably, this is 2 weeks after he'd passed away, refrigeration was used in the meantime. We're actually out to get him to the cemetery, and the cemetery says, well, when I first came out there and talked to them, they said, okay, look, we have to have the concrete liner because it's what we do. So we talked some more, and they said, okay, green lady, this is what I will do. They did it so where he was placed in, and then they put the concrete upside down around him, so that way he's touching the earth, so it satisfies me, but it's still, there's still the liner there, and so the topsoil would go back on it, so that way it satisfies them. So in my mind, green burial, yes, there was a hearse, yes, there was, you have to use some sort of vehicle, but you would think a hearse, kind of, you know, maybe a little bit more gas, not as good gas mileage probably, right? But I mean, there's always going to be somebody with a green burial that's going to wear leather shoes to your service. They're going to be holding their Starbucks coffee in their hand. There's always going to be some form of something which is not fully biodegradable and natural. So to answer your question, that was 2 weeks after he passed away. You need to, if you're not, how the state reads within rules, if you're going to use a funeral home, the state says the funeral home has to do these four things within 24 hours. Mm. You have to be embalmed. You have to be cremated. You have to be buried. Or you have to be refrigerated. And so sometimes burial and cremation and these things can't happen within 24 hours. They can if you plan it out ahead of time. And that's why a lot of natural burial people say, I don't want refrigeration. I don't want embalming. I don't want anything. We're going to just, I know someone's going to pass away. We're going to buy the space. We're going to let them know it's happening. We're going to do whatever we're going to do, and we're going to move quick. Life sometimes doesn't happen that way. You make these great plans, you want everything to happen quickly, but guess what? You pass away on a Friday afternoon, and you haven't had a doctor sign a death certificate, and the gravedigger says, I'm not available till Monday. I mean, that just happens sometimes, so there's always ways to get around it. Either keep your loved one at home, and there's many cooling methods you can use, cooling blankets, you can use air conditioner, you can use dried ice, or you can hire a funeral home, and they can go ahead and use refrigeration. So there's variables and plants. Most people do decide just to use a funeral home, even if they want a natural burial, by doing it themselves as much as they can, by not purchasing different goods and services, by saying, hey, we're going to go to the fabric store and get this fabric, and we're going to make this sort of apparatus, and hey, we'll do this, or hey, we'll give it to you to put Aunt Betty in, and we need you to use the vehicle to get to the cemetery, but we really want to take her from the vehicle. I mean, funeral homes all work with you. You just have to tell them what you want, because when you sit down to make a plan with them, you know, they don't think you're going to have enough knowledge to say, okay, you know, what do you need here? You're going to them for direction. Our job as a funeral director is to direct and say, okay, most people do A or B. What do you want? And then we go into the caskets and all those sort of things. So it's just, again, if you have some knowledge and say, there's this funeral pyre in Colorado I heard about. Do you do that here? They'll probably look at you and say, oh my goodness, this, because people normally don't come in with any information. So, and then that's, if there was one here, they'd be able to say, oh, well, gosh, yeah, there's this person in Eugene that's doing that. So, because they can't give you every single possible aspect of every single choice, because you'd be there for 3 or 4 hours. So it's good to have some information. Yeah. Yes.
Educationally, how do you go through the process of becoming an undertaker? I've known people that are undertakers, but I've never asked.
Every state has their own rules, and it depends if you want to become an embalmer.
Uh-huh.
If you want to be an embalmer, then you definitely have to go to a school where you learn embalming. Mount Hood Community College is the only one in Oregon. There's a two-year program. You get an associate's degree. You learn all the funeral stuff, the ethics, the laws, all of that. And then you also learn the physicality, the anatomy, and all those sort of things. And then you take a state board. You have to pass a licensing exam with your fingertips, you know, make sure that you don't have a background. So fingerprints with a background, and then you have to apprentice, and you have to meet with families for so many hours and do all that sort of thing. I never wanted to be an embalmer, so I didn't go to mortuary school. I went to Linfield and McMinnville, so I had a bachelor's, so I was fine there. And then I went and I worked and spent the hours and put all the time in, then passed the state exam. And I'm licensed in California and then in Oregon, too. So it's just that I kind of went through the back door, I guess, that way, because embalming, even at a young age, I knew I want to be with the people. I didn't want to be that. So the cemetery helped me realize this isn't what I, that's okay, that stuff is fine, but it was really about the people. The most I got out of the cemetery is when somebody would call in the middle of the night and say, my son's there and I'm just calling because I don't really know, is he okay? And we'd get in a big conversation, and then I'd hang up and think, oh, okay, I did something worthwhile, versus maybe pick up all the dead flowers on the cemetery or something. And that's what the whole green burial concept for me happened was. I worked for so many corporations, and once a week we'd have sales meetings and talk about all the caskets we sold. And I thought, this isn't, I don't think this is why I'm here. This isn't, when as a little kid, this isn't what I pictured myself doing. So when I was actually on someone's land and, you know, they barely spent any money. I mean, I just consulted them. I just typed a death certificate for them, and they did all this stuff, and they all this happy people, and they all had that joy of knowing they could help Wanda any way they wanted to. And someone, you know, painted her toenails, and somebody else brought food, and someone else cleaned the house. And I just thought, wow. And so little by little, I was finding when we were having these burials in people's yards, I would see this whole tribe of people around, and somebody would, they would find different things to do, food to make, or somebody would just be braiding someone's hair or doing something, and just it was just this feeling of community coming together. It takes a whole village to sort of come and do that. And even when families come into the funeral home and they want to bathe their loved one and dress their loved one and say their prayers and have their own religious service and just be really hands-on with it, I find that really healing, and they all leave feeling like they really did something for that person. So you don't have to have the undertaker come swoop your person away and then you don't see them again. But some people also, it's just not comfortable. They don't, they saw that person through all of the dying process. You know, they saw that person change from who they knew to at the very end, it just wasn't who they were anymore. And so you're physically kind of need to be away from that. So that's where it's just, there's no right or wrong, you know? There isn't that idea of this is right and you have to choose this. It's just more, gosh, you know, there's so many choices. Do what you need to do. Yeah.
Do you see down the road, is this movement isn't the right term, but is this concept going to expand as people become more environmentally sensitive? Perhaps cemeteries run out of room. I don't know how, where that's going.
Yeah.
What are your feelings long term? Are we going towards Soylent Green? What's the future look like?
Yeah, that's a really great question. The Green Burial Council came out so many years ago, and what they started doing was regulating cemeteries. It's a nonprofit in the United States, and their job was to regulate funeral homes, cemeteries, and also services to let consumers know, okay, we've checked this place out. Yes, they do offer green burial. They aren't just saying this, so they're not. So the greenwashing aspect of saying, oh, I'll say it's eco-friendly when it's really not. I'm charging all this money and you think you did this great thing, but instead you bought goods that weren't, and the prices are really jacked up pretty high, and they're selling you this trendy thing. So that's come around a lot. If you check out the Green Burial Council website, it has all the cemeteries and the funeral homes that decide this is something they want to do. There's even more that I found that I've written in here, because I found more and more people. And it's becoming, I guess you'd say, a movement. People are starting to think, oh my gosh, this is really trending, because there's becoming all these books out there of all these different ways to be eco-friendly. Death positive, that's a big movement that's come recently, where people are saying, let's talk about death. Let's not be so scared of it. Let's look at other cultures around the world, what they're doing. The cremation rate in Oregon, Washington, California is just raising and raising and raising. Hopefully we won't have to go to Soylent Green, which is you know, more chemicals because we're getting the eco-friendly water choice that's coming through. And I think people are deciding if I'm going to go to a cemetery and I'm going to buy that, you know, that 3,200,000 square space of land, if I can just biodegrade back and give to the permaculture and I can be buried 4 feet down and all that juicy goodness inside me can help the soil and I can become a tree and I can make all this beautiful plant and foliage grow, I'm not spending all the money and I'm actually helping the earth and it's not such a bad deal. So I think it is becoming, and it's just cheaper. It's really what it comes down to. There's a huge economic thing that goes on here too, is you're saving so much money. And that's really, it's not like this new way to bury you that, oh, it's just $2,000 more. It's the idea of, gosh, you can really, the price savings is pretty, the green in your wallet, I think is a really important thing that happens. And you can, again, do things yourself too. You can cut off so many of the services of the funeral home by saying, we don't need this, we don't need this. Look at the goods and see all that. And there's so many things you don't need.
Because they're not going to bring that up.
Possibly not, because they're not, they're for-profit industries. And not that they're all horrible individuals. It's just that they're there and their job is to not only walk you through the process, but do it with this price list and say, this is what we charge for all this. You tell me what you want. So to have some education about it, I think really helps too. Not everybody wants to be their own funeral person. Keeping somebody in your house and keeping the air conditioning and getting the doctor to sign, it's a lot of work. Not everybody wants to do it. You really have to get sort of a tribe to do it. And I don't mean tribe, Native American. I mean a group of people together, because a lot of times you're so tired after somebody passes away and you're just sad and you're trying to figure out your own new normal of what your own life looks like. The idea of, oh, I've got my checklist and I'm going to make sure that this physical person is still okay while they're in this room while I go and do this. And yeah, I think a lot of times that's where funeral homes, it becomes a little bit easier to say, please take care of my person. Or if not, you have your group of people, hopefully, that can at least maybe provide transportation to save, you know, $400 for you or something. So, and you don't have to be embalmed before you're cremated. You don't have to be embalmed before you're buried. That's one of those misnomers that everybody thinks you have to be embalmed. There is no state rule that says you need to do that. Cemeteries don't say you need to do that. You can even transport people at longer distances, but just use ice or air conditioning. There's ways to get around that. But if you want to do it, there's also green embalming now. There's chemicals that are more natural, and you can ask your local funeral provider about that too. You just have to ask the questions. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what's going to make your life easier now? I mean, this person isn't there anymore. How can you handle this the best? I think it's probably what the most important is, you know, but then figuring out, you don't have to have somebody say it's going to be column A or column B. Make your choice. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What country would you say is on the cutting edge?
India, right? Because India, they do outdoor...
doing it forever.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do. Hindus, they take care of their loved one. They make a pyre, and they go ahead and just do everything outdoor, and it's all natural, and there you go. Yeah, I think that's pretty cutting edge. Jewish culture, burials within 24 hours. Muslim culture within 24 hours. I mean, this isn't really anything new, what I'm talking about. It's not some great thing any of us discovered. It's just that idea of kind of going back to what we did for so long. And really, 95% of the world bury themselves with green burial or natural burial. If you look at all the countries in the world, there's so many places who just do the simple shroud and go into the space, and you can still have the religious part of it. You still can have the community part of it. I always like to tell the story about my father, because I think people think, well, wait a second. No, my family, you know, we need to go into the church and the pastor needs to do this and we do this and we have a visitation. And by all means, you still can have a visitation without having, you can have somebody dressed in their favorite clothes. You can do all these things without, you know, having chemicals or without having an expensive metal casket, all these things. You know, it's just there's slowly the aspects of doing it yourself. Even if you do everything traditional, you can also think about, rather than cut flowers, you can have potted plants, and that way you can go home and plant, you know, succulents or something that you can replant. Or that idea of using recycled paper for your memorial folders. Or there's all these things. Maybe if you're going to have a meal afterwards, think about people bringing a potluck from their garden. I mean, there's all these ways that you can cut off costs that don't have to be this amazing extreme thing. So I was talking to a group in Vancouver, Washington, about green burial, and the whole back row said, well, that's for hippies. That's not for us at all. And that's where I had to say, okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because This is what, I mean, I have a lot of Asian families are doing this as well. I'm getting a lot of people who aren't just the baby boomers, but baby boomers are doing this for their parents. And so there's a lot of people who aren't just saying, hey, we want to stick it to the man and not buy a grave space. It's more that idea of, you know, this kind of, yeah, I guess she was someone who, you know, had her pop can, and she took her pop's cans to the store ever since the 70s and had her pop shop pop. And we always went to the, you know, the pop shop pop. You remember that? I just feel like I'm so old when I say that reference, but the pop shop pop bottles that we would do. You missed that. That was super cool. When I was your age, we'd get these bottles and they're glass and they're in this rack and this pop shop pop. And there's these pop shop pop stores and they'd be all these different flavors. And this thing would come home and you'd have all these flavors and you can go home. And there's a guy named Ramblin' Rod and you would talk about this all the time, but you missed it all. So it's okay. You got your iPhone. So you got that.
I don't.
Oh, well, you've got your box or whatever it is. We had that. So we had such little things. Such little things to excite us. So, yeah. So I can read kind of what a little bit of a little story here for you. It's pretty brief, but just to kind of tell you some little fun story I did with Harry, just to kind of give you a little bit of a visual of Harry. So Harry made his own casket, okay? So when Harry turned 85, he said to his wife, I want that boring Oregon mortician to come to the house for the day, and I want to ask her some questions. So he had me over to the house, and he wanted to ask about green burials, and he wanted to ask about these things, and he really wanted to talk about sustainable, substantial farewells. So he was this really precious man in the community. His birthday was on Wednesday. His wife, Mildred, had me come on over, and she was cutting pie, and he wanted to talk about the fact he read in Mother Jones magazine about all of these green burials. All right, so he learned that a casket could be made out of any organic matter as long as it was able to bear the weight of its occupant. Harry resolved to make his own casket prior to his passing. Medical tests gave him about a year or so to see this dream come true. One day, Harry left his bed at the break of dawn, marched out to the backyard, and using a kitchen cleaver, cut down a large bushel of bamboo. He enlisted a son to help him thatch a burial container that resembled a hope chest, in which the bamboo was held together with straw and dried mud. Harry's future casket spent plenty of time hardening in the summer sun, and then it lived in the garage through the soggy fall. Just before Halloween, Harry left this earth. I joined his family at the house that evening. His daughter-in-law had baked his favorite peach pie, and his son helped me bathe and dress the man of the hour while we listened to Tony Bennett and Mel Torme take turns singing in the living room. You know, every time I read that sentence, I remember talking to my publisher and saying, shouldn't we make it clear that Tony Bennett and Mel Torme were not singing in the living room? It was pre-recorded music. Records. It was records in the living room. Record player? No.
Playing.
Yeah, the songs are playing. Harry spent that evening in his self-made bamboo casket right in the living room as neighbors and former co-workers came by to say their goodbyes. Outside, his two nephews were in the backyard bamboo grove, using his tractor to dig Harry's final resting space. They had borrowed the machine from a neighbor, and one nephew already knew how to operate it. Fortunately, the grassy backyard was level, and the bamboo was quite pliable, which eased the nephew's work. The family hired me to help ensure his backyard burial was legal in Clackamas County and followed county regulations. I contacted the county planning and zoning department to confirm the plot of land was considered rural. I also walked the yard to look for any watersheds, make sure the grave was at least 50 feet away from the neighbor's home, and check for hardships such as sinkholes or outcropping of rocks. When Harry's grave was ready, the nephews and neighbors slowly carried him outside. At the graveside, everyone shared some laughs and some toasts, and then the casket was lowered, simple and sweet, just like Harry. So I have so many stories. Thank you. You know, I've got so many stories like that that are just really beautiful, and it's just somebody who said, oh, I read this article, and can you help me see this dream true? Or someone said this, is that right? And because again, you don't know. People will come in to order death certificates and they'll say, I heard I need 20 or I need 24. And we'll have to walk through it. And really they only need two because the county charges $25 a piece and it's paper and most people want to look at it and take copies. But you don't know. People don't know a lot about funeral homes and burials, and you learn what you saw on 6 Feet Under or what you saw, and especially the worst is CSI. because people will call and ask me about the Inquisition and the crime scene and all these things, and you know, the coroner and all these things that don't exist. It's just that's television. We everything's pretty simple. Someone passes in a nursing home. We, you know, take care of the arrangements, and there's no Inquisition, right? But so you don't know. You get your ideas from media, or you get your ideas from somebody who maybe had a death so many years ago, or, you know, someone who has a foggy recollection of the conversation they had with the Undertaker because they were in grief. So I've had such neat people email me and call me. And I also welcome all of you if you think of anything after the fact that you want to ask or have a question for. And even though I'm in the Portland area and I'm not here, still, I still have the knowledge and I still can hopefully point you in the right direction or answer a question for you. Or you can even try to call your local place and ask a question too. And if they don't have it, happy to try to dig the answer up for you. Because just like that first burial I had with Wanda, I just transparently told the family. I said, I don't know. I said, we have to figure this out together. So they did their research and I did mine and we made it happen. So it's kind of neat as a community, right, to come together and make it happen.
You have a little book that...
I do, the Green Burial Guidebook. Make it really simple so people know exactly what it is. And then she has Kesha. Yeah, she's got several. Yeah, I bring my own reading copy here, my card here. So, yeah, but I've got several up there, and it tells people just how to take care of their loved one and what state rules are and the idea of how fun ways to have a celebration for your loved one that don't cost a lot of money and things like that. Save the money, save the environment. I like it.
When did you write the book?
About 2 years ago, and then I kept updating things because things change. Oregon didn't have the green cremation when I first started writing this. In California, it hadn't had that yet. And now there's like 20 more cemeteries that have come about that I fit in. And so there was little things. And people, by the way, would say, hey, well, what about burial at sea? Oh, that's right, I forgot. So, you know, you remember there's all these ideas of still, yes, you're right. People don't ask me about burial at sea much because I'm by Mount Hood. I mean, people in my area aren't thinking about that. So that's right. So, you know, more people in my area do body donation or something. Okay. So I started getting more conversations with people and more stuff came up.
They get particular sometimes with donating your bodies, depending on the need and depending on the person's age and et cetera. So
yes,
people that think that that's the answer, they should have an alternative because it may not work.
Totally. On my website, I write that you could have a free cremation because it is free. They'll take care of everything for free and you donate, but there's height, weight, proportionate. Right. Make sure you didn't have a medical procedure within the last year. They really want to know about strong histories of alcohol and drug abuse, and sort of depends on which disease you have, but you can pass away of someone who's been very sick and has had a lot of illness, and that's okay. It just depends on what shape different tissues and things are in.
Exactly.
So, but that's always good to research. Like she's saying, if you want to be donated, do you want your whole body to go to Oregon Health Sciences University? And do you want students to practice on you? Do you want to be an anatomical donation? Do you just want to put something on your driver's license that says, in the event I suddenly fall and hurt myself, one of my major organs can go to help somebody? Do you want Lion's Eye Bank, where your eyes possibly go help somebody, or Community Tissue Bank, where your tissue and your skin can go and help many people? There's so many ways to donate yourself besides having a young, healthy heart.
Right.
Yeah. Plenty of ways. Yeah. It's a beautiful gift.
You have all that in your little book?
It's all in there. Yeah. Yeah. It's all, yeah. It's, and I'm writing more and more and making a second draft as time goes on here. I'm hoping to publish one in a couple of years because people have come to me with new cemeteries. And I'm finding out just a little bit, you know, more and more people say, well, in my state, I can do this. And so I research it and I get my annotations and find out where I can find proof of everything. And there's just so much out there.
Did you self-publish?
No, I went through a company.
Okay.
And they're a really fun company. They're called New World Library. And they've published Mother Teresa and Deepak Chopra. And they try to only do books that they feel are,
cool.
You know, really. So I was really honored that they thought that this would be something that was you know, helpful worldly knowledge. So I thought, wow, I felt like Pope Francis for the day. When
So is it the Nautilus Society? I think I asked before and I may have missed the question.
Did you say Neptune?
Neptune Society.
Yeah, yeah.
They do burial at sea, yes?
They're technically a funeral home.
Okay.
So yeah, they can do that. They can also do cremation. They're known for doing cremation. But again, they have a licensed funeral director running the place. They could do whatever the heck you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Always check in.
At sea if you want to go that route.
Sure. And if they say, we don't do this, then you can say, oh, well, you know, I do know that 3 miles off the shore in Newport or Lincoln City, you can do this, and then you can maybe let them know about the New England barrier. Let's see, Captain Brad White will help you. We'll gladly help you through it.
And slide you off the main deck, weight you down, and give you a 24-gun salute. What the heck?
Yeah, people think you have to be in the military or be a Kennedy to have a burial at sea, and you don't. The average person has the right to have that happen.
Yeah, you have to take me to the lighthouse, and I want a 24-gun salute.
Well, I'm sure you do.
And then I want to go off the edge.
Is there any examples in other countries of older cemeteries that have been there for hundreds of years that they've repurposed to something else besides just plots of land for people? I mean, I know in our country there's probably not too many cemeteries that are hundreds of years old, but in like Europe and stuff, is there anything like that?
Well, what they do in Europe, another great question, is some countries have a rule of 99 years, some have a rule of 50 years, but when somebody has been in a burial space at that time, they try to contact family members, and if there isn't any descendants, then they can reuse that grave space again. So that's still going to be for burial, but they still can reuse that. They say in the United States of America, we are such narcissists that we actually have a space in a cemetery with a headstone, and even though you're no longer alive, this is my property for me forever, because your house gets sold, things happen, but this is me right here. And so we're the only country who actually does that. That's why we do embalming. We try to make people look lifelike. We still haven't let go of the idea of people go on to heaven, or, you know, it's all, we don't need to hold the physical form. But it's hard. It's someone you loved. So we're not, when I talk about the green cremation, people will say to me, they can't quite get their head around it. And I've seen it happen a couple times, but I have a hard time explaining it too, because it's so new to me too. It's not the choice of what I would do. So that's why I'm not horribly passionate about it, but I'm happy to explain kind of what it looks like. But yeah, that idea, people will say, well, gosh, 50 years, I mean, I'd only that's be there, and grandma would go away, and I wouldn't have a great space to go visit her. And, you know, unless she's
what happens when they reuse those spaces? So if they're buried in a casket, what are they, is there a standardized process?
Out it goes.
Out, and what do they do with the casket?
Caskets in Europe mostly are wood. So if there's wood's gone, there might be some bones, but then they'll have like a central grave where all the bones will go to. Yeah. So they still respect the fact it's a human body. Because again, we're very big on human remains, even cremains. We have a name on them. There's ways you can scatter people. We really try to track everybody as they go. So, but yeah, they do notify, but they'll take bones and do a central like ossuary. They will. But your question was fascinating. I love that, because every time I talk to people, there's always somebody who says something. And I'm not really sure if there's any cemetery that has repurposed themselves to condos, or has repurposed it to like a park or some sort of conservation ground or something. But there probably is. So thank you.
Burial ground.
Yeah, that's given me something to take a look at, because again, I want to learn too. So thank you. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do they do burrows? Like how in Scotland, like the ancient tribes, people would bury themselves in mounds. Did they do that here ever?
That's what a green burial would look like. If you look at pictures, Google, because I have a feeling do you use a computer?
Yes.
You look very smart. If you look up natural burial ground and these natural cemeteries, loved one is placed down, they have all the soil, the layers of how they just don't willy-nilly, you know, shovel back in. It's all the layers of soil, how they went with the sod, and then the natural root system grows. But you'll see it looks like a mound. And let me show you a picture of the book here. It looks like a mound, and then it will slowly settle down, but then it's all natural. So I will find you a picture. I will mark it in the book. Give it to you. Scotland. Yeah. Any other question while I'm looking for this young man's picture?
That's the way it would have been if you got buried along the Oregon Trail, for example, wouldn't
it?
Yeah,
of course.
Ma'am, could you send him that picture?
Oh,
thanks. Yeah. I should get out of my chair, huh? It's marked. You'll see kind of a mound there. That was a natural burial. So open up with it. There you go. Yeah, right. So, right, it's full. It's nice. It's just, doesn't look scary. And then what happens after a while, some of these places, like I just was up in really close to the Canadian border in Ferndale, Washington, and they have a complete natural area, five acres, which is outside the regular cemetery, and it's just called, you know, this nature preserve. And you'll be walking through this area and you realize, oh my gosh, that's a burial space there. And you might see a rock with somebody's name, but all this natural lupin has grown up. And I just, and they've said, yeah, she liked this and all this natural things. And it's just this natural, you've become part of the meadow rather than having it all clean. And you'll see some spaces. And it's just, it's really amazing just to walk through those places and just say, wow, everybody just kind of goes back to nature. But you still can visit and you still can have that reverence because some people really want that place. I know with me being a little girl, I liked having a cemetery to go talk to my mom and have a headstone and all that. So this still allows you to have your loved one be a parcel of a beautiful bush or something and just be able to, you know, see them. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Feeling complete? Yeah, all right.